Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today. Homeschool father of six, also an elder of another church out here on the Eastern Plains. And today we're going to take a look at what's going on in the Western world and the Eastern world. And as we see the effects of existentialism and the rotting out of social systems, we're hoping that eventually the nations will see that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only solution to these problems. Government's not going to solve Japan's issues, Steve. Government is attempting to recover from the socioeconomic disaster zone that Japan has represented for the last 30 years, but there's no hope. There is no hope. There is nothing governments can do to reverse this horrible, horrible social trend. The social consequences of terrible, terrible social sins that have been committed over a period of, well, probably 100 years.
I thought government thought they were the savior.
They think they're the savior, and Japan's trying some governmental policies, and I'm sure America's going to try governmental policies to work themselves out of the horrific situation they found themselves in. But the government's not going to solve it, and I'm hoping that as the years go by, I grew up on the mission field in Japan, and I'm hoping as the years go by, somehow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be presented as the only solution for Japan's social ills. Japan is one of the most depressed nations in the world in almost every possible use of the term depressed. Japan is depressed socially. Japan is depressed economically. Japan is depressed psychologically. Japan is one big, fat, depressed nation. Suicide rates, of course, some of the highest in the world. Japan is really, really depressed until Japan realizes that they've got to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to realize the only solution is the solution that the Creator God has provided for that nation, and that is salvation that can only come through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on that cross. Until they realize the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only solution for Japan's troubles, Japan will continue to spiral into oblivion. Japan will continue to spiral into oblivion, my friends. Japan is also a microcosm of the entire Eastern world and the entire developed world, Steve. That's what makes Japan so interesting. Japan is a microcosm of the Eastern pagan world subjected to Western toxic ideas and destroyed by them. Sadly, Hollywood, Nashville, and all of the bad, bad, toxic worldviews that have been imported into Japan have far, far and away influence Japan more than whatever the poor little missionaries have done over the last 50 to 60 years. We had a maximum congregation of, I think, 17 people in our little church in Karachi, Japan in the 1970s. So, I mean, that's typical for missionaries. You know, they'll impact 17 lives over a period of 12 or 13 years, whereas Hollywood will impact hundreds of millions of lives in Japan. Why? Because the Western toxic ideas are received with great enthusiasm, and they, of course, will rot out Japan's socioeconomic systems as they have done. Japan's population of children has dropped every year for 36 years in a row, Steve.
36 years.
Japan's children population has dropped every year for 36 years in a row, and there were less than a million babies born in Japan last year. 976,979 babies born last year in Japan, the lowest, get this, since 1899.
Wow. 18,
the lowest since the 19th century. The lowest number of babies born in Japan since the government began keeping records. It's a third. Right now, the number of babies, a third of what it was in 1949. I guess there were like 3 or 4 million born in 1949. Now down to less than a million born in Japan. Japan's population will be dropping. It's been dropping since roughly 2006. Japan's population will continue to drop for another 85 years. Given there's no change in the birth rate. And the birth rate right now is down to 1.4. It's steadily dropping. It's dropped over the last 2-3 years as well. Down to 1.4 now, well below replacement rate. And the Japanese population has been dropping since roughly 2006. For 11 years, the Japanese population has been dropping. America is probably about 20 years from wherever Japan is right now. America is about 20 years off from massive depression, unless there's a 180-degree change of heart in America. That is a massive repentance, revival, and reformation, worldview paradigm shift from the John Paul Sartre perspective, the existentialistic perspective, it's all about me. It's all about me, and grab me more abortifacients. I got to abort more kids. I got to be sure that more of my kids are aborted and they die in the fallopian tube. And unless American women and American men get off of this self-centered existentialistic thing and have a 180-degree change of heart, my friends, America is going the direction of Japan. The next 100 years will be a worldwide depression for all the developed nations in the world. Get ready for it, my friends. Get ready for it. In just a moment, we're going to talk about men going their own way and the herbivores. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson today as we interact with the issue in Japan, but also in the United States and across the Western world today. A letter from one of our regular listeners, and this was the first time I ever heard of this. Hello, Kevin Swanson. He writes, regarding the MGTOW movement, is anyone addressing this from a Christian worldview? MGTOW, he defines it as men going their own way. Some background on myself, raised in a Christian home, oldest of four, saved at seven, private Christian school, homeschooled, 34, virgin, still single. I was to the 2011 homeschool alumni reunion in North Carolina. I want to find a wife and get married. The way the world is going, she must be a support and not a drag on being godly. Off and on the last 8 years, I've tried some Christian online dating. The quality is very, very low in the vast majority. It seems the main thrust of MGTOW is to warn men not to put themselves in a position to have their life ruined by women. I do believe the problem is real, but Christians are to go God's way, not their own. How to be wise. I believe there's a need for this issue to be addressed so men can be wise and know what the kind of woman that has a basis for loyalty looks like, and so that the woman may be building the basis for commitment when the time comes to make it. There must be wise ideas to share to those who are searching for an answer to the MGTOW movement rather than porn, sugar daddy setups, and so on. So that's the highlights of this thing. He's actually, it was probably a two-page letter. But I just read a little bit of that. I'd never heard of MGTOW up to now.
Yeah, I'd not either.
Yeah. And so I did a little search on it and found it's related to the herbivores.
Herbivore really, people men. People don't eat meat.
Well, not exactly. Okay. No, the herbivore men and MGTOW are somewhat related. Basically, herbivore men is a concept coming out of Japan. It's one reason why Japan's birth rate is 1.4. The men are just simply not getting married. A survey of Japanese people aged 18 to 34 found that almost 70% of unmarried men are not in a relationship. So 70% of unmarried men 18 to 34 years of age not in a relationship and not interested in women. Just not interested.
Yeah.
They're just not interested in women. Herbivore men are basically men who have been emasculated. And as I read it, and you can check it out on Wikipedia yourself if you want. Herbivore men have been emasculated. They've been neutered. They're not without romantic relationships, but have a non-assertive, indifferent attitude towards desires of flesh, according to this article. And again, we're talking about Japanese here. This isn't exactly the MGTOW that you find in America, Australia, and England, but one of the philosophers defines herbivore men as kind and gentle men who, without being bound by manliness, do not pursue romantic relationships voraciously and have no aptitude for being hurt or hurting others. Effectively, they're men who aren't working. Japanese young men are only working part-time or not working at all, so that's very, very, very common. So again, same kind of things are happening in America. Men aren't working, and this is something that the economic journals are bringing out all the time. The quantity of men or young men in the marketplace is dropping and dropping and dropping and has been dropping since the 1970s. So men aren't working. Men have no desire to get married. Men are playing games. Men are somewhat porned, but sometimes they're just porned out, so they're not doing any of that anymore either. They're just sort of lying there and feeding themselves potato chips, I guess. But just very little happening when it comes to men. Men are having serious problems in our society today. There's no two ways about that. The big picture issue here, though, Steve, is this. I think we have to distinguish between sin and the social consequences of sin. Are you with me here?
So sin and the social consequences of sin.
Effectively, sin and consequences.
Okay.
You sin, you have consequences. You take, for example, the measles, you take disease, you take death. These are all consequences of sin. Are you with me? Consequences of the original sin.
Yes.
So again, you don't blame somebody for being sick. Are you with me here?
Yes.
You don't get down on them for being sick. They're sick. It's a consequence. It's not sin. So we have to distinguish between sin and social consequences of sin. There is sin and then there's judgment or consequences that come on sin. A guy not getting married, take, for example, is not necessarily a sin. And so I think we have to be very clear on this. There are a lot of singles. Now, it's not necessarily a sin for a lot of reasons. Now, it's not necessarily a consequence of sin either. But in a society in which men, that is 70% of men, that's a lot, wouldn't you say?
I mean, yeah,
this is not that occasional exception for singleness that we read about in 1 Corinthians 7.
Right, right.
See, again, in that situation, there's a reason for it. He's got a calling. He's got a calling in the church. You follow me? That's what Paul's bringing out in 1 Corinthians 7. So singleness is exceptional in the Bible.
Yeah.
It is sometimes referred to as a gift, even.
Yeah, so it is the exception. Yes.
But when 70% of men aren't getting married, because they're suffering from the social consequences of sin, even that is not necessarily a sin because they're suffering from the social consequences of sin. So, again, we have to distinguish between sin and the social consequence. If a man is turning into an herbivorish, somewhat emasculated man, that in and of itself is not a sin. Now, there are sins that contributed to it, sometimes in his own life, sometimes in the life of an entire society. Okay, so there are two sins that are producing consequences, social consequences, that are devastating Japan and devastating the Western world. Two sins, as I see it. Now, you can add a few others if you'd like. I'm sure there are others.
Yeah.
The first is perversion, sexual perversion, that eventually destroys social relationships. Sexual perversions, pornography, divorce. Their parents got divorced. Their dad was into porn. They're into porn. Now homosexual porn for 4 or 5 years. Turn herbivore. You know, it's the pornography. It's the bad sexual stuff that contributes to the breakdown eventually of sexuality and entire social systems and civilizations as we know it. So let's keep this in mind, that perversion will eventually destroy social relationships. Yes, and homosexuality and one-night stands and hookups and shack-ups and you fill in the blank. These things will eventually do their social destruction, and the social destruction will probably hit the third to fourth generation of those who hate God. Perversions will eventually destroy social relationships. And I can say from personal experience that Japan is known for its pornography and its child porn, by the way. It's known as the world's largest promulgator of child pornography.
I did not know that.
When I grew up in Japan, I was just a kid in Japan, you know, riding my bike, delivering newspapers and having little jobs and doing the kinds of things that we did as we grew up, running our bikes through the town and so forth. You know, the walls were covered with pornography as you're running through these streets, these alleyways in this little city of Karatsu, Japan, when I was 12 or 13 years of age. The streets were covered with the stuff. It was everywhere. The kids had it in their manga books. I remembered for a period of time. And thankfully, over time, the Lord has purged these things from my mind. But I can remember images that stayed with me for a number of years as a young boy that were shared with me in the playgrounds in Japan. I'm talking about little fifth graders, sixth and seventh and eighth graders.
Wow.
Steve, and even to this day, the government is trying to outlaw some of this porn in the manga books that makes it, and when we say manga, I don't know if people understand what I mean by manga. Have you ever heard of manga?
No.
Manga is just comic books that are actually very, very common for the Japanese children and have been since the 1960s and 1970s. Almost every kid gets his manga books, and they're typically graded. They're leveled at fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, whatever. But almost all of them had some level of pornography involved in them. I'm talking about little kids with access to some level of pornography from the point that they're like 10 or 11, 12 years of age. So the Japanese have been hardwired. Firing this kind of perversion into the minds of their Japanese children through the generations, and they're getting what they're paying for. You know, they're getting it. They're getting exactly what they're paying for, and that's the herbivore men some 30 to 40 years later. All right, the second aspect of this, the second sin that is common, again, these are the sins that have taken America as well. So I'm not just pointing a finger at Japan. These are sins that have affected the United States of America. Certainly pornography is huge across this country. 80% of young boys 16 to 24 years of age, 80% have access to pornography on a weekly or monthly basis. That according to CovenantEyes.com. CovenantEyes is following some of these reports that have come out on the use of porn. And of course, pornography, the access to it is just out of control. It's just all over the place. And so we should count on the very same thing happening in our country as has happened in Japan. Very same thing is happening, and that is the destruction of all social relationships, piece by piece, especially family relationships. All right, so perversion eventually destroys social relationships. But here's the second thing. Proud feminism and role egalitarianism also creates an unhealthy dog-eat-dog competition between the genders. And once that happens, Steve, all bets are off. And you know exactly what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah. When there is no gender, when you're talking about that, when you're trying to treat everybody as neither male nor female. Miley Cyrus just even came out and said that she's genderless.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so feminism eventually destroys gender entirely.
Right.
Once you destroy role differences in marriage, role differences between men and women, you point out that men can't have babies and women can. And then the opposition comes unglued at you and calls you a bunch of bigots. Once you point out there's a role difference between men and women when it comes to the family, when it comes to relationships, and when it comes to the economic positions of men and women in society, or even in the church, when you point out that men and women have different functions and different gifts and different callings within the context of the church, of course, the proud feminists just absolutely hate that. They hate the Apostle Paul, and they do their best to create an unhealthy dog-eat-dog competition between the genders, and that of course destroys marriage, which was the plan of the feminists from the beginning, and that it destroys any possibility of men wanting to marry women or women wanting to marry men. So again, that's been what the role egalitarians have been doing since the early part of the 19th century, and it started with Laura Ingalls Wilder. I pulled out these happy golden years this morning, and because, friends, you have to understand that this has been in the works for a very long time. The destruction of marriage has been in the works since Laura Ingalls Wilder was writing her Little House on the Prairie books. And, you know, anytime we come after these golden cows, anytime we go after these sacred cows, I know we get in trouble on the program, but friends, unless we are willing to repent, I mean, go back to where we went wrong and really, really repent of these things and turn back to God and turn back to Jesus and embrace his forgiveness for our sins. Unless we're willing to do that, then you can kiss your whole society goodbye. We're looking for a 180-degree turn in the minds and hearts of those listening to this radio program. So So we're going to go after Laura Ingalls Wilder now in these happy golden years. Here's the exchange. You want to hear the exchange?
Sure.
As Almanzo Wilder proposes to Laura Ingalls. Do you remember the moment?
Yes.
Okay, you remember. We read the books when we were kids. It's all part of our homeschooling upbringing, but we, of course, were taking it hook, line, and sinker. I know. But now, here's the exchange that happened between Laura Ingalls and Almanzo. Here we go. Almanzo, I must ask you something. Do you want me to promise to obey you? Okay, that's Laura asking Almanzo, okay? Almanzo's response, of course not. I know it is in the wedding ceremony, but it's only something that women say. I never knew one that did it, nor any decent man that wanted her to. Well, I'm not going to say I will obey you. Okay, that's Laura.
Okay.
I will not say that I will obey you. Okay, that's Laura in the proposal.
Okay.
What a very sweet exchange.
Yeah.
Well, I never expect you to, he told her, and there will be no difficulty about the ceremony because Reverend Brown does not believe in using the word obey. He doesn't? Are you sure? Laura had never been so surprised and so relieved all at once. He feels very strongly about it, Almanzo said. I have heard him arguing for hours and quoting against St. Paul on that subject.
Wow.
Okay, these are liberal, feminists, anti-biblical preachers from the 1890s. You know that he is a cousin of John Brown of Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Who, by the way, was a murderer and a terrorist who murdered both blacks and whites.
Yeah.
He was a terrorist. John Brown was a terrorist that murdered blacks and whites.
Yes.
He's a horrible, wicked man. But apparently this Reverend Brown was a cousin of John Brown of Kansas. All right. So in the end, everybody knows that Almanzo and Laura had one daughter, Rose Wilder, one of the most outspoken feminists in all of history. And of course, she divorced her husband and Laura Ingalls Wilder had no surviving grandchildren. The legacy was over in a single generation, my friends. It was over. Laura Ingalls Wilder's feminist vision was destructive of all of her future generations. It was gone in one generation. It became a perfect picture of the fruits of feminism, all dried up and died out. That's precisely what happens, my friends, to feminism. That's what creates the beautiful picture of the dried out family, the corruption of marriage, the introduction of divorce, and the destruction of the human family in the 20th and 21st century for entire civilizations. And you can point the finger at Laura Ingalls Wilder and her most famous feminist daughter, Rose Wilder Lane. That, my friends, is the story of what happened. And of course, when Laura Ingalls Wilder asked the question of Almanzo, it was a hard question for her to ask, but she asked it anyway. Do you want me to promise to obey you? Well, that becomes the picture of it. Many Christian men and most Christian women, I think most Christian men, most Christian women have given way to these sins, Steve. Pornography. I mean, the statistics tell us that they've given way to pornography, self-centered sexual license perversion, and proud feminism. Christians giving way to this kind of stuff. Of course, that's what's happened in our present day. So now we have men going their own way. So let's get back to MGTOW for just a second. MGTOW, men going their own way. And this is what they're saying. They're saying that they're tired of selfish women taking all their stuff, getting all the child custody, and divorcing them whenever they feel like it. They're tired of being controlled by control freak women. That's what these men are saying. And meanwhile, the women are saying they're tired of irresponsible men who never want to get a job. They're tired of men on porn. They're tired of selfish, angry, unloving, controlling men. So you have the women complaining about the men, the men complaining about the women, and the women are saying, I won't submit to him until he reaches a certain level of loving me. And the men are saying, I won't love her until she starts to submit to me. And so you have this standoff going on. So there's hardly any hope for the situation. The pagans and the Muslims solved the problem by subjugating women, owning them, beating them, selling them, or renting them, as the Native Americans did to Lewis and Clark in the crowd when they came through. You know, they'd rent out their women for a night or two. So the pagans and Muslims solved the problem by subjugating women and have for the last 6,000 years. The modern world solves the problem by allowing women to be in control, enforcing an egalitarian system, supporting them by socialist programs. programs where husbands and fathers are irrelevant as breadwinners, but occasionally, and here's the hope. The modern world doesn't solve the problem. The pagans and the Muslims don't solve the problem by subjugating the women and owning them and beating them to death. But occasionally, you'll find humble Christians who cry out to the Lord for mercy on them to save them from their sins of selfishness and pride. And the Lord actually really does come through and save us from our sins and redeem our marriages. So here and there, you'll find marriages doing well by the grace of God. So this is the good news. So we're ending with the good news. You don't have to be a feminist. You don't have to be the herbivore. You don't have to be the MGTOW man going his own way. Here and there you find small, genuine Christian churches, both young men and young women, humble and contrite souls, on their knees on a Sunday morning, repentant, crying out for the mercy of Christ at the foot of the cross, and they aren't going to be self-centered and proud, holding out until they're 35 to 40 years of age to get married for self-centered reasons. They're not seeking cheap romantic love. They're actually realizing that getting married involves denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they genuinely want to serve Jesus together. Praise God, Steve. There are these people that exist. What a better solution than the MGDOW disaster zone and the herbivore, socially destructive society, population imploding systems that the world is bringing on. I think the problem with the MGTOW is they're all about themselves. It's defined as self-ownership, where a man protects and preserves his own sovereignty above all else. That's, of course, bogus for us. No, we're bought with a price. We're the servants of Christ. We're to give up our lives so that we gain a life. That's the way we do it. It's completely different than the self-centered MGTOWs and the feminists. Men who don't want to suffer are not going to like the Christian life. Christian young men, let me just end with this admonition and this exhortation, this encouragement. Yes, I agree. Do not marry Laura Ingalls Wilder. Okay? That would be a very, very bad decision to make. If you run into Laura Ingalls Wilder and she says, I hate the Bible, I hate St. Paul, I hate the idea of submitting to my husband and obeying my husband, don't you dare marry her. She's already acknowledged herself not to be a Christian. Don't marry a non-Christian. That should be obvious. Marry a humble and a contrite woman who, like you, hopefully, are both on your knees confessing your sins, relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone to justify you, forgive you of your sins, and to sanctify you and cleanse you by his blood. That's the person to marry, and they exist. They are out there. There are Christians here and there, even in the Western world. But if you marry a closet feminist who turns out not to be a Christian, you're probably going to have to suffer. Welcome to the club, right, Steve? Yeah. Suffering is going to be part of the Christian life.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have to suffer in some ways that other people will not be suffering, but we're all going to suffer, including those poor Chinese Christians or Somalian Christians that wind up in some horrible prison somewhere with diarrhea every single day eating rats. Friends, you're going to have to suffer one way or the other if you're going to live the Christian life. So avoiding suffering is to avoid living the Christian life. So get married. Don't do it for a cheap romantic reason. Do it as a means by which to better take dominion, better serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not good for a man to be alone. And realize that life is going to be suffering from here to heaven. And be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. Now, if one person in that relationship is willing to do it, you'll survive. If two people are willing to do it in that relationship, you will thrive.
Amen.
That's the difference. All right, we're done with this edition of the Generations Broadcast. If you'd like more on this subject, get my book, Family Life, that I've just completed. It's on these issues of marriage and family. If you want to salvage family from a biblical perspective in an era in which the family is utterly devastated and utterly destroyed, if you like biblical answers to the family, be sure to get a copy of my new book called Family Life, available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noaaconference.org. That's noaaconference.org. It's Friday, July 7th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. President Donald Trump chastised North Korea again last night, charging the rogue nation with, quote, very, very bad behavior, unquote, and warning of, quote, some pretty severe consequences, unquote. However, support from China and Russia remains tepid, as both nations refuse to support a United Nations resolution intended to increase economic sanctions on North Korea. In a speech given in Warsaw, Poland Wednesday, President Trump told the world that the West would never, ever be broken.
The fundamental question of our time is whether the West has the will to survive. Do we have the confidence in our values to defend them at any cost? Do we have enough respect for our citizens to protect our borders? Do we have the desire and the courage to preserve our civilization in the face of those who would subvert and destroy it?
We ought to remember what James 4:14 tells us. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Thus far, newly nominated Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch has proven himself to be a strong advocate for the conservative side of the bench. Fox News points out that Gorsuch has positioned himself with Justice Clarence Thomas 100% of the time on 13 separate votes. The UK Mail reports at least 20 doctors have quit the British Medical Association after the organization voted to support full-term abortion. The policy shift for the BMA runs counter to the Hippocratic Oath that includes the line, quote, quote, I will not give to a woman a pessary to cause abortion, unquote. Roger Kiska from Christian Concern told The Worldview that what Britain needs is a change of heart.
Pray for a change of hearts and minds here. It is my hope that one day we won't be performing abortions, not because it's illegal, but because we realize how abhorrent it really is. So just pray for those in Parliament. Pray for those who will be voting on this. Pray for a change of hearts, really, so that this government and governments moving forward will scale back on abortion and eliminate it completely.
The Australian Essential Polling Group found that Aussies are more than ever supportive of the marriage of those given to unnatural relations. Only 26% of Australians oppose the practice, down from 31% in 2013. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. That's Proverbs 29:27. Jack Phillips, owner of Masterpiece Cakes in Denver, appeared on ABC's The View last week to make the case for his religious liberty appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Phillips told the women on The View that, quote, the Bible clearly teaches marriage is between one man and one woman, unquote. When asked if Jesus would bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, Phillips answered in the negative, quote, because that would have contradicted the rest of biblical teaching, unquote. The liberal panel did not agree with him.
What do you think Jesus would have done in that situation?
I don't believe that Jesus would have made a cake.
You don't?
If he'd have been a baker.
Oh, come on.
But he would have.
Jesus
been
would have made
him.
The cake.
The National Bureau of Economic Research found young American men between 21 and 30 years of age are working 12% fewer hours than they were 15 years ago. The study found that most of that time off from work consisted of playing video games. America's young men have the third worst work ethic of 34 developed nations, according to the Council of Economic Advisers. All of which vindicates the truth of Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Thanks be to God for progress made in Indiana. The annual number of abortions committed in the state has dropped by 8.5%, according to the Indiana State Department of Health. Mike Fichter, the president of Indiana Right to Life, attributes this to, quote, the pro-life policies set forth by then-Governor Mike Pence and pro-life leaders in the General Assembly, unquote. Fichter noted that there were still 7,277 abortions last year, and that's 7,277 too many. But that's 618 lives saved over 2015. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, July 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.